past. When we reached my grandmother's house, we rang the bell several times, but there was no reply. Still undaunted, Mother borrowed a key from a neighbour and we let ourselves in. The stillness settled over us like a dust sheet. Something didn't feel right. Everything was too tidy, like no one was living there. It gradually dawned on us that Granny had gone away without telling us. Octave and I couldn't think what to say. She knew we were coming to see her, so how could she possibly have gone away? We gazed around the neat, dusty rooms and watched as our mother burst into tears. We both knew how much she'd been looking forward to the reunion, not having seen her mother since the end of the First World War, nearly 20 years before. The strain of the journey had exhausted her, and this disappointment was just too much. When we investigated the quiet house more closely, we found a letter in Granny's handwriting addressed to us and lying on the table. Mother opened it and read it with wide-eyed horror. A childhood friend of Granny's, who had married a Bulgarian student some 40 years earlier, had written to say there was a terrible shortage of midwives in their newly opened maternity hospital in Bulgaria, and had asked our grandmother to come and help out for a few weeks. Granny had immediately packed her bags and gone, leaving her dressmaking workshop in the hands of her employees for a while. "She suggests we join her in Bulgaria for an extra holiday," my mother sighed. Instead of reaching our destination as we had imagined, we had actually arrived at the start of an unexpected adventure. 3 days later, we were on the train to Budapest, where we changed to another heading towards the Orient. The carriages were even more crowded than they'd been on the way to Vienna, and the unfamiliar stench of garlic was almost unbearable as everyone around us tucked into homemade sandwiches and talked at the tops of their voices. It was as if they were at a big family gathering rather than on a journey. From the window once more, I watched the scenery passing, staring at the pretty houses and tiny farmyards filled with geese, ducks, turkeys and chickens. I'd never seen so many animals, coming as I did from the North London suburbs. Although this was my first real taste of travel, my family had long been seasoned travellers. I'd heard my father's brothers telling tales of their journeys around Europe as children, when their father, my grandfather, had been an engineer working on the Orient Express line. They had lived in railway wagons originally intended for carrying livestock. Their mother had insisted they travelled everywhere as a family, and so they were allocated 2 wagons by the railway company, one for their carefully fixed bunk beds and wardrobes, the other to be their kitchen, dining and sitting room. Water came from barrels on the roofs. My grandfather's office was a smaller wagon attached to the engine. The instructions on those wagons said, 8 horses or 52 people, my uncles used to joke. As well as their 5 children, my grandparents had also taken with them a recently orphaned French student who kept a strong grip on the elder children and acted as their tutor, and a young Austrian widow who helped with the housework, cooking and sewing. She also taught them German. My father, their 6th child, was born when they reached Constantinople and ended up speaking 12 languages, 7 of them to official standards. It seemed strange to be travelling along the very same line so many years later, like a link to my currently absent father. As we passed from Hungary to Yugoslavia, the houses began to look poorer, the farmyards and gardens less tidy. Most of the women wore headscarves. The men had round sheepskin hats with the woolly side on the outside. Everyone wore sleeveless sheepskin jackets and pigskins on their feet tied together with string. We arrived in Sofia, Bulgaria's capital, in the middle of the night, 8 hours late and exhausted. Once again, we searched the platform in vain for any sign of my grandmother. My mother's spirits sank even lower. The station was dark and ugly, the crowds much less prosperous looking than in Vienna, and the few other...